Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is my wardrobe malfunction. It's ostensibly about clothes, but covers pretty much everything else in life too. This is our 13th episode, released during lockdown, but this one was actually recorded back in September 2019, when no one used the term social distancing, and we certainly hadn't heard of the dreaded coronavirus. You can also find it as a video version on our website at mywardmal.com. There you can also join our pyjama party. And please do email your own clothing calamities to us at help@mywardmal.com. Finally, if you subscribe, give us a 5-star review and follow us on the usual socials at mywardmal, then you'll truly be my favourite person on earth. Speaking of which, let me tell you about our next guest, as he's my second favourite. He's singer, author, Scissor Sisters frontman, a great big Doug, and my gay husband, Jake Shears. We caught up last year in a hotel room on the morning after one of his gigs, and once we started talking, we literally couldn't stop. Nothing new there. So let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside.
Today, I am with someone who, when I look at him, he kind of just makes me laugh. And all I do is have to look at him. And that person is Jake Shears from the Scissor Sisters. You may remember that band way back in the day. But his real name is Jason Sellard. So if I start calling him Jason, don't get confused.
Don't be confused. Good morning. Hi.
How are you, my love?
I'm so good. I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, I'm happy to see you too.
You're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Bright-eyed, a beautiful day. And I'm so glad to see you've dressed up for the occasion.
I really did. I chose this... Very special for this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, this very special look for this morning.
Very, very special. Mm. And so just to describe it, he's wearing what I think might be an old Abercrombie and Fitch, very old, sort of washed out, dirty, not as in the colour, but like food down it, vest top.
Well, all my clothes are dirty right now. I actually have no clean clothes. My suitcase is full of dirty clothes. I had to ship down to the Uniqlo to go get some fresh underwear a couple days ago, but now I'm gone. I need like...
Okay. Are you wearing them inside out now?
Basically.
Yeah, that's why I do that too. And then you got a rather fetching pair of sort of man-made fabric, sort of beige, old man beige shorts.
Yeah, these are a little bit, these are like a... These are like pensioner shorts.
Yeah, they are. That's exactly what they are. Which is kind of appropriate, isn't it? Because you're nearly 41.
I turn 41, yeah, very soon. Just a few days. Oh my God. So weird. I thought I would just stay 40 forever. Now I was like, oh, I'm 40. Like, I'm 40 forever. And then, like, no, it's... I'm 41 now.
41. But you are the kind of person who will remain 12. Inside forever.
I mean, inside.
So you're
yeah.
a teenage boy. Yeah. You will always be a teenage boy.
I feel like I'm growing up a little bit, though. I feel like. yeah. I mean, you'd never know from this morning. But no, I definitely have felt like a shift. I mean, I do still feel like a kid, though.
Yeah.
And I live like a kid in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
As a homosexual man. I feel like it's hard to kind of like, you're sort of in this arrested development. I mean, it's like you don't have the responsibilities that, you know, that sort of regular people have in a way. Like, you don't have to sort of end up getting married and having kids. And I've never gotten married or had kids or anything.
Yeah.
And
I don't think being gay gives you the license to be permanently infantile, to be honest. Just because,
I'm just saying that it's a side effect. I don't think it's a license, but I think that it's that, you know, I definitely feel like it's taken me a long time to sort of like grow up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel 41. I seriously still feel like I'm in my 20s.
And I came to see you perform the other day at Camden. And it was like, you know, having seen you in concert so many times, it was like 15 years ago. You know, you're still the same. You still have that energy. But your outfits now have become, on stage, have become even more outrageous.
Were they?
Yes. I mean, it's kind of borderline drag now. You love a fishnet tight now.
I love some fishnets. I do. I think it's fun to like play with. I'm very much a boy boy. Like, I'm. I think so. I mean, I'm like, I'm like kind of no muss, no fuss. The way I dress normally, I mean, I really, like, I wear cargo shorts and, like, Birkenstocks is, like, my go-to. Yeah. That's why I live in LA and New Orleans, and, like, one of the things I love living about there is you never have to dress up. You can just seriously just roll out of bed and go to the grocery store, which is, that's just how I like to
I mean, visually, you are two people, I agree, because it's like, day to day, you are like kind of regular Gap kid.
Totally.
Almost.
I'm just like the most, I really wear nothing flashy. Yeah. But on stage, I love to like, where I've been wearing these like platform boots and I just love to dress.
Which are about 9 inches high.
They're really high. Yeah. But I like that. There is a separation because I do love to wear flashy stuff. I do love to get like super glammed out, but that's not me. That's another version
of
me.
No, but you see, I don't know if that, I'm not sure I agree with that.
It's just another side.
But when you're on stage, you are dressing your personality, which is very overt. It's out there. It's vivacious. It's fun. It's slightly insane. That is you. Whereas you looking like, you know, you're sort of, in a care home, which you're looking now. That's not you.
A care home. God, I love that British people just, I keep hearing new, there's always, like, I always hear new phrases that I've never, like, how many more terms can there be for a convalescent center?
Well, you did say that to me. You said, I'm so glad you came up to London and left the care home. You sent me a text saying that, so you know that term.
No, I said convalescent center.
Oh, convalescent
center. I like convalescent center. But no, I do kind of compartmentalize, my looks, and it's there's multiple sides to my personality. I mean, what I really can't stand is having to, like, just put on like a suit and go to like a function is just my idea of hell on earth. Like, you do end up at things like at events and stuff where it's just like you got to put on a nice,
pinstripe suit or a gray flannel suit is usually something made out of curtain material, isn't it?
No, I mean, I do kind of have my, you know, Tom Brown suits in the closet that I pull out for that sort of thing. But I don't like just wearing, you know, I don't like dressing up in a normal way.
But do you think that's for you? It's as much about movement because you know, when you're on the move, you're hyperactive.
Mm.
So to feel trussed up in a suit, maybe it's because you don't have the freedom to move like you do on stage.
It's strange, like wearing slacks, like suit slacks. I just don't like how they make my legs feel. It's like, I think you're right. I don't. I feel awkward.
Yeah.
I feel awkward in just like a straight up suit.
Yeah, it's not you, not you at all. And I mean, having you've worn some very extreme outfits, so you must have hundreds wardrobe malfunctions.
Yes.
What was the worst wardrobe malfunction that you had?
There's two pretty bad ones. Can I go through two of them? One was, this is probably I don't know, the year we met.
Okay, which is what, about 15 years ago?
About 15 years ago. Yeah. And Elton had taken Scissors out for some shows to the UK countryside.
Mm-hmm.
We probably played like 5 shows with him. And my mom had come, and we were opening for Elton, and I had a pair of black, really thin leather pants. And didn't realize it, but they had split while I was singing, and I was wearing any underwear. And I looked down, and one of my balls is just hanging out of the front of the seam. Like, it wasn't like the zipper, it was like below the zipper, the seam
is
split.
A little squidged
ball. A squidged ball was like hanging out, and I had just been out there singing to thousands of people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long it had been out, but it was out there. On stage, I looked down and
but I bet you didn't care less. I bet you were thrilled that that had happened.
I thought it was funny. I announced to the crowd. I was like, I'm so sorry if you just saw my scrotum hanging out of my pants. I didn't realize they were busted. So there was that. And then we played a show at the Bataclan in Paris. Years ago, and it was in the dead of summer, and it was so hot. I think it was like 115 degrees Fahrenheit on stage. Like, they took the, I don't know what that would be in Celsius, but it was so, there was a heat wave. I mean, it was so hot that the crew had a tub of ice water on the side of the stage that they were dipping towels in.
Oh my
between
gosh.
Songs, I was going to the side of the stage, and they were laying ice towels on my head.
Wow.
To keep me cool. So I had like steam coming off of me. I took off all my clothes. And I just wear, I mean, I just wear like ratty Calvin Klein underwear. Like, my underwear is years old.
Yeah.
Like, there's holes in them. Like, it's really bad. And I had just like a stretched out ratty pair of Calvin's on underneath my stage outfit. It was so hot, and so I was just out there performing in my underwear and just sweating, steam coming off of my body. And there is a photograph. Someone took a picture of me singing my brains out with my nuts just hanging out in front of a whole concert. I'm just completely singing with my balls out. I mean, I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I was just like, I was just getting through it. But, you know, I got another funny story from that night, because this is amazing. Jane Fonda had come to that show that night, and she's just an absolute icon to me. I've been obsessed with her since.
Dolly.
So her and Dolly and Lily. I mean, just the 9 to 5 cast in general. Those are like the trifecta. And Jane and I had become friends, and she was there with her boyfriend, and the show was so hot that I was like, I just kept thinking, like, while I was on stage, I was like, oh my God, they must have left. Like, it's way too hot in here for what are they going through? Like, it's so hot. Like, I don't know how anybody could handle it. Got off stage. Not only did they not leave, but after the show, Jane comes around the corner sopping wet. She's completely wet. She's had the time of her life. She's not wearing a bra. And her, like, shirt, it was just like full-on wet t-shirt contest with her tits out, loud and proud, and she didn't give a fuck. She was just... had so much fun with her tits out. It was it was amazing. I was like, oh my God, you're so cool.
God.
She was just like, it was a special moment.
Yeah.
You know.
But that, you know, that weird, that comes from you. It's kind of, I feel that it's like, when I met you all that time ago, it's kind of like you liberate people. I don't want to flash you too much because you're a cunt too. But you do. You have the sense where I feel with you, I can be more myself than I can with anyone else.
Oh.
It's weird, and you give people permission.
I feel the same way around you, though. I feel the same way around you. I feel completely, like, relaxed. I like people to have a good time.
Yeah.
I like people to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's from my mom. My mom is very much...
Frida.
And she's a really special woman that really takes... Yeah, you know, she loves people. She's very social, as do I. I'm just a really social person, and I'm a friendly person, and I want people to feel like themselves and to be comfortable.
Do you think that you're a people pleaser a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's to a fault.
Yeah.
To a degree. I mean, I really have issues with that.
Yeah, me too.
And we'll, you know, I'll... It's bad. It's something I'm really trying to deal with because I do want everybody to be happy, and I do want I want to make everybody feel good. And I am a social person, and I'm friends with a lot of people, and I've kept all my friends for so many years since, you know, I've got just friends from childhood, and everyone's still in my life, and so that's a hard thing.
To maintain those friendships, or
just doing your best to kind of like keep it up, because I love those connections that I've forged with people over all these years, and sometimes like sometimes it can be to the detriment of.
But I think I think every great performer has to be a people pleaser, because that's your job. You go out on stage and you have to make your audience happy.
Yeah, and comfortable. And I learned that from, you know, that's just something that I've learned from watching Dolly Parton perform.
Yeah.
And when I first started playing on stage, I just felt like there was a wall between me and the audience, and I would kind of have these panic attacks and just like start basically having seizures and, you know, just like, you know, just getting crazy, just being super weird, just because I was so... there's just a wall. It was uncomfortable. And at that time, right around then, I was going to go see Dolly Parton perform a lot. I probably saw it 3 or 4 times this one year. And I realized that she was coming out on stage and immediately taking the entire room in. Immediately. There was no... there was just no separation. Like when she came out, you immediately.
So how does she
felt,
do that?
It's your sight. It's like looking around the room, looking at people in the eye, smiling, coming out, and just taking the room in.
Mm.
And that's something that I think is really important at the top of a show. Mm. It just puts the room at you kind of put the room at ease immediately to like, you know, to start, you know, to take everybody on this journey of a concert. But I think that's, I don't know how I got on that tangent. But
it's kind of interesting, because I remember another time when we were doing, do you remember we came up with that idea? I remember you were staying at home, and Trini and my career was sort of grinding to a halt, and there was that article, do you remember, in the Sunday Times, and it said the next time we witness these two has to be when we see them at their own hanging. And you thought it was the funniest thing. And I was sobbing, and you were hysterical. You were laughing so much. And then we devised this idea, which was like, okay, you got to celebrate what everyone criticizes you for.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And then we did the what Trini and Susanna, what they did next. And I remember you were part of that, and we came with a film crew. You were so fucking useless. As soon as a camera was put in your face, it's like you dried up. You became so nervous. It was weird.
I'm bad on like talk shows and stuff. I'm bad on camera.
Yeah.
I love doing radio.
Mm.
I love talking in front of microphones. It's like super fun, and I feel very comfortable. But sitting on a couch with a camera in front of me, I turn into like a wooden puppet.
Yeah, so bizarre.
It's not good.
But is that any other times when you feel insecure?
Other times I feel insecure.
Or shy, or...
I do. I feel... I mean, I do have moments of... Here's a weird thing. I feel insecure sometimes in, like, going to a cafe for the first time that I've never been to and, like, ordering a coffee. I get, isn't that strange?
Why?
I get nervous. Like, I have no idea. But sometimes, like, restaurants and cafes, I just get a little strange.
Do you think that's because you're worried people might recognize you?
No, you're not.
Please,
that you're it's not that. I don't know what it is.
Because they're speaking a foreign language, and you're in another country.
No, it could be anywhere. It could seriously be anywhere. I mean, I remember when I first moved to New York. When I was like 21, I was like scared to go in and order a sandwich at a deli. I always am just worried that like there's some like in a I'm always worried that there's like some I don't know what I'm talking about, like there's like a way to order that I'm not going to get right, or are you supposed to take this tag, or am I supposed to are you going to see this at the table, like what am I supposed to do? I really need like directions when I go to a place. If it's not there, I just get a little
So are you good at being on your own then, do you think? Do you spend time? Because you are such a people person.
I have to have time alone.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've really come to realize over the years is I have a hard time being alone because I love hanging out all the time. I love hanging out. I love friends around. I love family. Mm. But that's why I have this, I've got a little apartment in New Orleans, and it's my place to go down and just when I can. To just be alone. Mm. And that's how I get work done too. Because if I'm by myself and just kind of like living quietly, working out, making myself food, you know, not really speaking to anybody, I start getting ideas.
Yeah.
And start writing.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's what everyone who, you know, with the creative process, alone
it's
time
important
is really important.
For me to be alone. Yeah. You know, I treasure my time alone. I read a lot too.
Yeah.
I mean, I love reading. So I also reading, that's my time to be alone with myself, whether there's people around or not.
I mean, you are a prolific reader.
I love reading.
And you've read virtually every single book
on
the planet, apart from mine, one of your best friends. With toil, blood, sweat, and tears. You know, I sent you copies. Have you read one fucking word?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You're such a liar.
It's a great. I'm so proud of you with that, though. I'm proud of you. And you're going into you've written the next one.
Yeah. And then the third one is going to be based on our relationship.
That's what I'm super excited about.
Yeah, that's going to be so good.
Yeah, I feel like there's lots to pull from.
Yeah, lots to pull. So I remember there was one time when you'd lost yourself, quotation marks, and you'd legged it to Berlin to go and rediscover your mojo.
Yeah.
And I came to stay with you.
Yes.
And I remember we went to, you said, okay, we're going to this club. And I was like, great. And I got dressed, and you just looked at me, and you went, no, there's
really?
No fucking way.
Was that like, no.
And I had to change about 15 times, because what was the club we were going to?
It was the Laboratory in Berghain, which, like, I can't believe, I mean, it's, like, definitely, like, a no-woman zone for the most part, so, like, it's a miracle that we got you in there in the first place. And then you left for a while, and I didn't know where you were. And like, eventually you came back and you were like, you said to me, you're like, I've just been like relaxing. I've been laying in this amazing hammock that's in there. It's in the next room. I've just been chilling out. And I like, and then I'm like, Susanna, that's not a hammock. It was just like a full sex thing. You've been lying in.
To put it in the context, this is like a gay. It was a gay sex.
It was
club,
a sex
Berg,
club, yeah.
Berg,
it was
I was the only woman there.
You were the only woman there.
And
I'm
a true fag hag, and I'd never felt so. I thought, oh my god, I'm going to be fine, and then walked in past these sort of swags of toilet roll and kitchen roll to mop up with afterwards and scat nights.
No, that's that place is like intense. It's intense. It's a little hardcore for me.
Yeah, but you just left me there. You disappeared.
I did that.
You just left me there on my own.
You were you wandered off and were laying in a relaxing in a hammock.
It was one of the best nights of my life.
It was really
say.
Fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, we did.
I think we were out late.
Yeah, we were out till about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Jeez.
Yeah. But I loved. That I really got a fondness for that city. I love Berlin.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's important for me, and this is what I've done. Did you know with New Orleans? In New Orleans, I'm really like, you know, I've put roots down there. But I feel like every 4 years or so, I have to just wipe the table clean and go somewhere by myself and sort of figure out, like, sort of reassess who I am.
Mm.
And that was one of those moments,
yeah.
You know? I'm kind of just going away and, like, getting to know myself again.
Do you have, is the a sort of an article of clothing or something that you take with you is always with you? So a piece of clothing which is like a comfort blanket almost that you if you take it with you because you travel so much.
I do.
If you have that, it kind of makes you feel at home a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because I do live out of my suitcase for a lot of the time, especially right now. I really don't have a home base at the moment. No, but I really have been living out of my suitcase, and it's important. The thing is when you've got such a limited amount of space, so every item that you bring with that I have in my suitcase is completely thought. You know, I've got 2 pairs of jeans, you know, 8 t-shirts, you know, 8 pairs of underwear. You know,
why
boots,
eight and not
sneakers.
Seven?
I don't know. It might be 8 to 10, but somewhere around that. You know, boots, sneakers, and then the summertime Birkenstocks. But everything has to be chosen really wisely because you can't waste any space in your suitcase. You really have to, like, have something for, you know, if there's a nice dinner or something, I need to wear a suit to or something. You have to have some kind of.
So how many suitcases do you travel with?
Just
I can
one.
See
just
one
that.
Here.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So
a few years ago, there's this warehouse called Tarragon in LA. You have to have like it's like a wholesale vintage warehouse. So you have to have like one of those like wholesale licenses in America to like go buy stuff there, which
okay.
I have friends that do. And so you basically like, it's one of those places you kind of like practically get clothes by the pound. You know
I mean, you
but
must have been terrified going in there the first time.
Is, I mean,
looking for like, having to be a member or whatever it is. If you find it hard buying a cappuccino and a new coffee shop, what was that like?
No, I had my friends with me who were
okay.
telling me, you know, what to do. And I found this orange hoodie from 2008. It's a bright orange hoodie and it's got like either a volleyball. Is it a volleyball?
I
thought it was basketball, maybe.
Yeah.
Just as orange. But it says Lady Rangers in cursive letter. And it, 07 to 08. So this is probably like 10 or 12 years old. And this is my plane hoodie. I have to take it on planes because it gets cold on airplanes. Or maybe I'm just dying. but no, it gets cold on airplanes. So it's like, this is like the one thing that's like, it's soft, it's comfortable, it's orange, it fits me well.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically have to have this with me when I fly and when I travel, like no matter what time of year, you know, I always have this hoodie with me.
I wonder if that was in your suitcase. I remember another night we had in LA and we were, I was staying at a very smart hotel called the Four Seasons, and it was for the Elton John AIDS Foundation post-Oscar party.
Mm.
And you came to stay with your then-boyfriend, Chris. And you had Toby the dog as well.
My little dog, Toby.
And your little Toby. And
he's 12 years old.
Little Toby.
I'm seeing him next week. I'm so excited to see him.
And we, all four of us, so Toby, you, me, and Chris, were all sharing a bed together.
And
do
it was
that?
Yeah, and it was such a nice hotel room, and we had gone to, we'd gone to the Oscar party,
mm-hmm.
and we got back, and, like, Toby had, like, shit all
everywhere.
Like, he's, like, shit and piss.
All over the bed.
All over the room, like, diarrhea, like, everywhere. Like, it's a really nice hotel room. We weren't even supposed to have a dog in there.
No, we weren't. We smuggled him in, and I had to go and do this morning show with Diane Sawyer.
Yes.
And I went straight, and I think I was still a bit pissed. But I remember waking up, we got back about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had to leave at 6 or something the next day. That is night, in 2 hours' time. And I remember waking up to this kind of noise, and I couldn't work out what it was, this kind of loud sort of noise. And I opened my eyes, and there was Chris, your boyfriend, clutching the side of the hall table, naked, and pissing into your suitcase, because he didn't know where he was, and it was just like splattering and he was just clutching. I was like, Chris, for God's sake. And that hoodie was probably in the
suitcase. I think that might have been a little bit before the hoodie started, thank God. Those were the days. I remember that night.
God, that was amazing. And you performed there with Elton. It was amazing.
Did I perform that?
Yeah, you did. You sang. You were wearing a lime green suit.
Oh, it was that one. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. And so just to kind of, you know, you're 41 nearly.
41.
A few days till you're 41. And so, you know, the end is nigh.
Yes.
The end
Life
is
at least
nigh.
Halfway or
least
two-thirds
halfway.
Over.
I was thinking about that the other day. For me, you know, I'm two-thirds the way through my life.
Two-thirds, yeah. It's a nice feeling, though, right?
I don't know.
I'm happy getting... The thing about you and the thing that I'm... you don't give a fuck. Which I think the older you get, the less fucks you give.
Yeah.
And I feel that way, too. Yeah. I'm not... I can't be bothered about stuff that I was all hung up about, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm not worried so much about things. Like, I just want to, like... I just want to be happy and be with my friends and family and live my life. Like, I don't know. I feel like when I was younger, I would get sort of hung up on things a little bit more. I get worried about... I used to worry so much more about failure. And now I don't care as much about that at all. Do you feel that way? Do you identify with that statement?
Yeah, no, I do identify with it. I have to identify with that because, you know, there's quite a few things I've tried and failed at. And it's kind of like, I find that I bounce back from it. And weirdly, for me, it makes me want to try harder.
Yeah.
You know, failure. So it is. It's the fear of failure does go. I agree with that.
Because I don't care about, I just want to... I want to do good work, and I want to do my best at it. I want to have fun doing it.
I agree with that.
Whatever the fuck happens with it, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. I want to make a living, and
yeah.
I want to be successful. I want people to, like, plug in with what I'm doing. But it does, like, I just the process of making things and living my life and just, like, doing the things that I love to do now, to me, are the most important things. And, like, whether... I just used to, like, worry and wring my hands about whether this was going to... these things are going to work or not. Is this going to be successful or not? Are people going to like this? Is this going to, like...
is all the wrong way around.
Because if you
do it from real desire...
True, yeah.
Then it's more likely to be successful.
Or at least successful.
Well, not for you.
It just doesn't... It's like an insurance policy against being sad about your work, you know? It's like, as long as I love something and, like, give something my all and am proud of it and had a great time making it, like...
Then it doesn't matter.
Then it
You've
really
succeeded
doesn't
by
matter.
That stage already.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with
so,
that.
Like, I love being in that spot, though.
Yeah.
I really love, you know, I love being there.
Yeah.
I'm much happier that way.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I wonder if you, to be really comfortable in that space, whether you have to have had a level of success previously to be able to get to that.
I don't know. I think the level of success that I had was probably an impediment to that. Because that kind of success really fucked me up for a long time. Mm. You know, that's what made, then you're worried that I was so worried about failing. Mm. I was so, when you have that, you know, a massive successful thing, you understand that that's not something that's going on forever, that will end.
Mm, well, you understand quite far post that, I think. But don't you, I mean, did you have, like, when the Scissors disbanded, did you kind of go through almost like a mourning period for it that you weren't aware of?
Absolutely.
You look back and you realize...
I was just kind of lost. Yeah. I mean, I had moved to LA with my partner Chris, and I'd sort of, you know, Scissors was my day to day existence for, you know, a solid 12 years. Mm. That was what I had to answer to every morning, and when that was gone out of my life, as well as New York itself. Those things, I did go into like a period of mourning. I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, I mean, I felt exactly the same with Trini and I. And I didn't, you know, part of me was so longing for that day to come.
Yeah.
You know, I'd had enough. But when it happened, I went into a complete decline. And I didn't associate it with the end of Trini and Susanna. I was trying to attach it to other things. I couldn't believe that I'd be mourning that, something that I'd, you know, had almost repelled me to, you know, got to that point. And I think you felt a bit like that with the Scissors.
Yeah.
And then looking back now, I realize, my God, that was such a part of my life. And you know, Trini, who is still very much a part of my life, and I love her to bits, but it was like a death.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole rug gets pulled out from under you, and that was a rug that I pulled out from under myself because it was my decision to. But I knew my, you know, as it's just like you have this instinct that like you have to move on and do something else. That this is not, you know, I don't know. That's the only way I can really kind of describe it. It's just like this sort of gut.
It is a gut instinct, which, yeah, I feel so grateful that I was able to listen to that and hear it.
And I try to follow that. I do crazy things listening to I make decisions very
quickly. That's fantastic. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It leads to kind of a wild life, but
yeah. So, my love, you know, like I said, you're nearly 41, and, you know, the day, sad day will come probably for me quite a lot sooner than you. Will you sing at my funeral, by the way, if you're still alive?
I'll sing Wind Beneath My Wings.
Oh, please don't.
It must have been lonely in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were the one I left behind.
Oh, that's very charming. I'll look forward to listening to that from my coffin. It's kind of weird because you have like a passion for clothes, but you don't have a passion for clothes. So with your costumes, did you have any input into the design of them?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is like we were sort of talking about earlier, you know, I organize my life so I dress very casually and have a very casual wardrobe, but I do love to wear flashy stuff. I love to wear costumes. But then on the other hand, I truly can't dress myself. Like I have the worst sense of fashion.
That's true.
I'm colorblind.
Are you really?
I can't, there's greens and like I get greens and blues and I get very confused. I'll think one thing, like I'll walk out of the house and like my boyfriend will be like, "What? And like what the fuck?" Is that, you know, I can't match colors. Mm-hmm. And I also just don't know. I have a hard time with I don't know how things are supposed to fit. Mm-hmm. Shopping with me is, I just, they just opened a new Nordstrom's in New York. And it took me, I was in there for 3 days.
What?
I was in there for three. I shopped in there for 3 days. I'm not kidding. Because my wardrobe, I travel so much, and like the items that I'm buying there are really important. I have to like focus and like make sure that these jeans are right. And I need people from the store helping me. I need like my boyfriend in there, you know, talking me through everything. And then after the second day, I went in on the third and made the decisions for what I wanted to get.
Okay, so that is because for you, it's quality, not quantity, but I don't mean quality as in a qualitative sense of how things are made, but that you're going to get maximum use.
Exactly. Total, like, utilitarian.
Yeah.
Like, everything that I buy, if I'm going to get new stuff for my wardrobe that I'm going to be carrying around with me in a suitcase, like I've got to be able to really wear everything. Mm. It needs to all be able to go together.
Yeah.
So I have a hard time
it's
with that.
It's kind of dressing by numbers, really. Isn't
yeah.
It? Join
yeah.
the dots dressing.
And because I'm just not, I'm not good at. I don't know what's in style. Like I don't know what's the cool thing to wear. That's why I kind of dress so basic, because I just don't. Like, stuff that's trendy sort of, like, scares me. I don't know. I have a really hard time dressing myself.
But then can you, when you're on stage, you have much more input. It's like you have an understanding of what works on stage.
Well, I start to, like, I start to sort of go from the music itself. And, like, this last, I put out a solo record a year ago, and I wrote it and recorded it in New Orleans and Kentucky, and it's got a very sort of Americana vibe. It's got a very Southern vibe. And I just wanted to sort of put all those things into what the look was.
Yeah.
So I sort of have a vague idea of what I want the look to be, but it's really important for me to team up with great costume designers and stylists.
So what costume designers have you used in the past?
Well, this last year has been amazing. This guy, Michael Schmidt, who is responsible for so many of the classic looks of, he's like the contemporary Bob Mackie or something. He has for so many, like, you know, Cher and Madonna and Miley Cyrus. He did the Lady Gaga bubble dress. You know, he does very sculptural stuff. He's sort of the rhinestone king. He sort of does, like, is it pave that you call it? Mm-hmm. Like, just crystals on everything. We've become friends. Mm-hmm. He lived in New York a long time ago. He's in LA now, but we've become friends. And so this last, he's in New Orleans a lot. And when I was putting this record out, we basically were, you know, he was like, I would love to make stuff for you. So he's been doing most of my stage stuff this last year. And basically, I was very inspired by my dresser on Broadway, this woman named Ginny.
What's that when you were doing
Kinky Boots? I was doing Kinky Boots on Broadway. And she, you know, your relationship, I didn't know all this stuff before, but there's all these aspects to doing. I don't know if it's the same in the West End, I'm sure it's similar, but, you know, I had a dresser who, and her sole responsibility was just me. Mm. You know, you basically, jumping on and off stage, quick changes, water, like she just takes care of you.
Like your nanny.
Basically.
Yeah.
And, but all clothes, you know, she dresses you. So she, on day one, I was kind of asking her about her history, and she had been in the Rockettes from 1978 to like 2003. She was in the Rockettes for 30 years.
You're kidding.
No. And it was just like a proper Rockette for 30 years. And she brought in this photo of her and a couple other Rockettes with Peter Allen. They were all in.
Who's Peter Allen?
He's Peter Allen was I think it was Hugh Jackman played a Boy from Oz. He's an entertainer, singer. Came from Australia. And he was a gay man.
Yeah.
Just super famous stage guy.
Yeah. Okay.
But they were with Peter Allen with a white piano. He was in white, and they were all in like white top hats, white tails, you know, with their Rockettes leotards.
Yeah.
And she brought this photo in for me, and I framed it and hung it up on the wall in my dressing room for the duration of my run in the show. And so that photograph is what inspired my whole look from this entire past year.
Mm.
Basically, I designed my whole outfit after Ginny as a Rockette in the 70s.
It's the leotard and the fishnets.
And so I had like I had tearaway pants with fishnets on underneath. It's funny what ends up sort of inspiring you and my experience on Broadway and getting to live that life for a while really inspired what I wanted to wear this whole last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's kind of a long story about how but I have to team up with great people to kind of see those visions come to pass, or else I wouldn't know. I don't know the first thing about putting an outfit together. So I do have ideas and inspirations, but it really, Michael Schmidt, the last thing he did for me was probably the most amazing thing he did for me. I was playing Pride 50 in New York, 50th anniversary Stonewall. It was the craziest week. It was a massive weekend in New York, one of the biggest prides ever. And we played in Times Square. And Michael, about 2 weeks before, said, "I have an idea." And he proposed and sketched out this huge robe that I would wear. And when I held my arms up, the whole thing was covered in Westboro Baptist Church signs.
Oh my God.
So under my, I was wearing right on my chest, it just said, "God hates fags" in giant letters. And it was like this rainbow, it's like a coat of many colors because their signs are very colorful.
Yeah.
So the whole thing, you know, same-sex parents burn in hell. Like, it said horrible things on it. And there were
quotes that people had said.
They were the real, they were the real Westboro Baptist Church signs covering this robe. And I, it was just such an intense thing to walk out on stage. I've never been so, I really went through it for a week until I finally decided, like, okay, I can do this. It was a scary thing to wear. It was such a heavy thing to
you
wear.
You were wearing kind of all the hatred directed towards homosexuals.
Yeah.
You were wearing
in a big way, like parading, like turning it into a frock and parading it around on a stage. And so I came out and I basically in Times Square in this robe. It was just such a moment. And I kind of went back to where, you know, the music was playing, and I had a little tear right under my, on the, you know, on the collar, and I ripped the entire thing, ripped it open. And underneath, I was wearing like a rainbow Richard Simmons, rainbow crystallized, full on Swarovski, like sparkly, you know, rainbow Converse, like just, I was basically just like this, like 70s porn star, sparkly vision of faggotry underneath it all. And that was one of the most, you know, I was, it was one of the most important outfits I feel like I've ever worn.
Yeah, because it represents, I mean, that is extraordinary that an outfit can represent so much and say so much.
Say, like, every, for me, it just said everything, especially on a weekend, like in the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. Mm. It was just a really, I don't know, that to me is an example.
Do you still have that? Have you kept that?
Oh, we've archived archived the robe, and I really keep everything that's made. That it was a very special look, but that's just an example of, I love teaming with people. I mean, that was Michael's idea, and it was a really important idea for him, and he implemented it beautifully, and you know, that was his art. You know, that I got to, you know, wear, and I love teaming up with people that who I trust their visions, and trust them as artists, and if I trust you, put me in whatever the fuck you want. Like, let me be your canvas. I love doing that, and I don't get super hung up on like,
it looks good on you. It's gonna say something.
I don't give a shit. Like, just if they think it, look, if you're happy with this because you're a real artist, I will go out and fucking wear the shit out of it. So, anyways, that's kind of how I view stage clothes and sort of my approach to it. And I love wearing one of a kind stuff. Mm-hmm. I love wearing unique stuff. I love stuff that's, you know, I love wearing costumes.
But I mean, you know, that's what I think we miss so much, certainly I miss, is that kind of flamboyance on stage, especially with musicians. You don't have it. Yeah, you've got Lady Gaga and you've got Adele and her big 50s dresses, but that's kind of it. There's no joy, visual joy in
there's not
anybody.
A lot of there's not a lot of glam. We're in a funny moment.
Yeah, it's just like, it's all kind of, let's play it down, jeans and t-shirts, grunge it up, you know, I'm not better than anyone else. You know, I think the public really miss that impact, that kind of,
I think it's important. I mean, that's why Greatest Showman is such a success, because
such
just
a
what
film.
It's about, it's,
But
just the idea behind, like,
because you want to escape.
You want to escape, and you want to see a show, and you and especially the UK like loves a showman. And I pride myself on being one. You know, I want to put on a show. Yeah. I want to entertain you.
Yeah, and you can escape so more effectively if you see amazingly outrageous, out there clothes. I think when you're watching a concert, a show, a film, whatever it is.
It's easier. Yeah, especially like, you know, the world is shit right now. The world is truly, you know, we've never been, and I'm not going to say the world is any shittier than it ever was. I think it's probably always been shitty, but we now have a direct channel to all the shit.
Mm.
24 hours a day. That's what's changed.
That's
is
what's
now
changed.
We are aware
yeah.
of all the shit. You know, it's more than our brains can handle.
Mm.
And maybe some people think that this is like, I do believe people need a break.
Mm.
Some people think that we, you know, that maybe I should be on stage, you know, spouting, I don't know, whatever. But I when people come to a show, when I'm playing a show, I want people to, like, for just a minute, like,
yeah.
not
yeah.
have to, like, to just enjoy themselves and not, and that is okay. I believe that's okay, and I believe that's necessary. And, you know, I think some people might, you know, disagree with me, but I, you know,
it's hard to disagree with, I think.
Some people, I don't know, some people think that it's like, a, you know, a full-time, I believe sometimes we need a break from the sadness and the anger and aggression, and I don't know, I like bringing people together. I think, you know, right now it's like, even the act of bringing people together is controversial now.
Yeah, it is, because on every level, which is, but which I think it's
bullshit. I don't subscribe to that. No. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I really like. It makes me so mad. You know.
Well, there are so many kind of mind. You know, it's a minefield to bring people together. Oh, you know, I'm like stroking Jason's leg, and my hand's going up towards his crutch. You know, if that was, you know, my God, that is an offense that I've committed just now.
Well,
you know, when you're bringing to, but when you're bringing people together, there are so many caveats. There's so many sort of rabbit holes that can trip you up, and it's, yeah. I mean,
look, my family. I come, my parents watch Fox News all day long in the States. My dad is 91. I'm never going to change his mind. He is who he is.
Yeah.
And, like, there's all kinds of things I don't agree with or whatnot, but that's my father, you know? And I'm sure he looks at me and it's like, dear God, what have I done? But he loves me too, you know? And I think that there's a, I just don't think it's any good, this sort of how people are viewing each other at the moment, in a way.
No, it's a road to emotional destruction, I think. It's really sad. But Jason, when you were growing up, when did you start dressing quite flamboyantly when you were a little kid?
When I was in elementary school, like sixth grade, I wanted to, I started wearing like suits to school. I wanted to dress up, like I started wearing suits to school, and like I carried a briefcase.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I only would wear button up shirts. I liked to, yeah, I like to dress up in that way. But then once I started realizing that I was a fag, I was like, and then I started dressing like really weird. But it was also like the early 90s, and alternative music was in such a, like, music was, it was the best time for music. Like, alternative rock was, it was pre Nirvana. You know, right before Nirvana broke. And you could, like, you know, I would just wear all.
It was all the glam rock, wasn't it?
I was wearing all kinds of stuff. Like,
yeah.
No, Joan Jett was a little bit more before my time, but I'm not that old.
Okay,
no,
so
this was like Nine Inch Nails,
okay.
And you know, like Chili Peppers, mm-hmm. and Violent Femmes and Public Image Limited, and those were the bands I was in. Big Audio Dynamite. I was kind of into Susie and the Banshees. But yeah, it was like a great time for just dressing like a freak. And so when I got into high school, I just loved starting. I was wearing skirts. And,
you really?
You know, yeah, I grew my
you
hair out really long.
For it, or
yes.
Really,
Yeah.
You didn't care?
I was very I egged it on. It made me even more extreme. Because I looked like a man. I would tease my hair out.
Fantastic. God, I love you. There needs to be more people like you in the world.
Paint my nails. And it definitely like that whole, it shaped me as a teenager. That sort of, that dynamic with people and that dynamic at school.
So when you come to the time when you move on to the next life, do you think your funeral will be a show as well? And
well,
if so, what would your burial suit.
You know, I don't know if you listen to, do you know Joan and Jerrica?
No.
Joan and Jerrica, they play these two characters, but they were talking about this new technique for funerals where you go explode the body. So you basically stuff a dead body full of like dynamite and like explode it in front of everyone, like fireworks and stuff, and just like. So I think that that's kind of fun.
Okay, well, what would you be wearing?
Like, here's the thing.
Okay.
But my real dream is to get taxidermied and to have. Like, sort of like animatronics, like put into my arms, and I want basically my legs to be cut off, and I want to be mounted with like my waist coming out of a wall, you know.
Like your audience.
I want to be wearing like a ratty purple sequined, like women's blazer. It's like some shit women's blazer with. Like coming out of, like, you know, kind of coming out of a wall.
Like a wall mount.
Like a wall mount.
Yeah.
With a top hat, and you press a little button, and I do a little like, hello my baby, hello my darling, hello ragtime gal, with like, and my arm moves and takes my hat on and off. That's where the animatronic is.
Okay.
So that's my dream.
Okay. Well, if you die before me, I'll make that happen. I promise. What? I'll shake on it. I'll make that happen for you. I'll get you taxidermied. An animatronic.
Is it possible? Do you think that they could do it?
Yes, it must be possible.
I mean, my favorite is if you look up, they do this down in New Orleans. It's amazing. And I love this, is where they embalm the body. And then everyone, there's like a woman that died in New Orleans, and she... you know, she loved to drink, and she loved to hang out with all of her friends. And they embalm the body, and they set her up in the kitchen with, like, sunglasses and a cocktail. And everyone threw a big party with her dead body, like, at the party, which I love. The photo, like, look that up, because the photos from that, the New York Times were going to piece on it. It was the sickest. So I would also love, before I get actually taxidermied, before, you know, and before my legs get cut off, I would love to be propped up, like, Weekend at Bernie style. But definitely with some sunglasses.
Yeah.
At, like, a house party would be fucking awesome.
Okay, that sounds good.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that would be. So... is there any kind of outfit that you feel defines you, Jake Shears?
The look that I feel like really kind of the definitive look for me, and the thing I'll always go back to, was back in the day, Fee Jones made me the dungarees. I would wear these like denim patchwork dungarees and Take Your Mama video.
Yeah. And like the little farm boy.
I had purple dungarees she made me. Yeah. I had all different kinds. And that, to me, like, those sort of dungarees with no shirt, is so easy to put on. You know, I wear them without underwear. They'd kind of be slid down, you could see part of my butt. And then those, I feel like I can always kind of go back to those dungarees.
Maybe not anymore.
Right. Listen, I'm trying to like lose this like little paunch I have in my belly right now. It's a mess.
It's fine. I'll give you some support underwear.
But those I feel like are, when I think about the outfit that sort of kind of defines me as a performer, it's those like sloppy hippie dungarees.
Yeah, it's been really, really interesting. This, although I've known you for so long and so well, yeah, it's been really interesting. And I've learned a few things about you that I didn't know before. But I've got you a present. I've got you two presents.
What?
Yeah, I got you two presents.
Oh, babe.
Here's the first one.
Oh, I love that. This is so sweet, and you wrapped it.
I know, not very well. I found the kind of oldest, most vile paper I can find.
It's nice. I love it. You know, you save the paper.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Cute!
Do you remember that? It's yours! And I licked it off
what?
You!
Yes. This is my acne sweater? Yeah. It's so cute. I mean,
It's a bit dirty.
It's okay. Thank you. Oh my god.
That is your comfort
blanket. I'll wear the shit out of this again.
That I love. It is like.
It's really. No, but it's nice. It's perfect.
So that's that.
It's to describe it. It's a like a robin's egg blue light acne kind of sort of
sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's great.
And you can't all see me.
So, I love that.
Have you seen my acne sweatshirt? No. No. Okay, this is something else.
Oh.
What did you know about this?
Oh, wow. Is this mine too?
Yeah.
It is a... I think
that's
like,
Comme des Garçons.
It's Comme des Garçons. It's a gold belt. Wow.
Yeah. And I
amazing.
Stole that from you when I stayed with you in New York, when you were living in New York.
Really?
Yeah, and I nicked it out of your wardrobe. And
did,
I'm
did
giving
you
it back.
Thank you. Did you wear it?
Yeah, I did.
It's good. It's a good belt. Thank you, sweetheart. Oh my god, I love these are the best kind of presents.
Yeah.
Because they were already like something that you like.
Yeah.
And that you forgot even existed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine all the clothes that over all the years that have just
disappeared.
Just disappeared, left behind. You never that like you could go back and look at old pictures of something, you're like, what the hell happened to that? Thank
so you've
you,
been
sweetheart.
Reunited. I'm sorry, I was a thief.
Oh, babe, I don't care.
I
don't care. Okay. I'm so like it's, you know, I just feel like I like wearing clothes. I like having them. But the funny thing about fashion, is it really it doesn't matter. And what and it's I don't mean that it doesn't matter, but it's like.
I don't think
I used
to define you.
No, I used to go, and it's so funny, like, I used to go and spend so ridiculous amounts of money on clothes.
Mm.
Like, I would just drop, and I look back, and I'm like, what the, it's such a racket.
Mm.
Like, what the, like, you don't, a pair of trousers doesn't need to be $1,500,
mm.
And, like, what good does it, like, I don't know, I just don't understand that anymore.
Mm.
There was a item of clothing, I really have been looking for a pair of cargo pants, because I love cargo, I love big cargo pants, because I put my Kindle, I travel my Kindle all the time, I put it in my pocket, and I got this, like, Stone Island jacket that was, like, this knit, it was, like, knit on the outside, and there was, like, a removable puffy jacket underneath it, it was really, really cool, and I took it home, and I was like, it's just stupid. This is stupid. I don't,
really?
It was just so much,
it
was
expensive. Yeah.
And I was like, fuck that. You know what, like,
yeah.
I don't know, like, now over the years, like, I've had moments where I've had tons of money, and, like, I've had moments now since then where I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, I don't have all the money I thought I did.
Yeah.
And then and I think back to, like, you just don't, I don't know. I just, I don't, I'm not an extravagant person.
Mm.
I feel like it's, I like to be a little bit more kind of simple.
Yeah.
My tastes are simple.
Yeah, you are simple. And I love you.
I love you. I love you. Thank you for doing this today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.